tweet at TodaySOR.
Louisa Cameron of Raven Books, an independent bookstore in Blackrock in South Dublin, and Rick O'Shea, the new presenter of The Book Show on RT Radio and not-so-brand-new curator of the Rick O'Shea Book Club on Facebook, are here. We're going to talk about books, ones you might like to buy for others or even for yourself. Thank you indeed for coming in. Rick, you're kicking off with a non-fiction offering, the story of Megan Phelps Roper. It's called Unfollow.
Yeah, Unfollow is an interesting one insofar as for those people who have seen Louis Theroux's series of documentaries on the Westboro Baptist Church. The first one was called The Most Hated Family in America. You will remember both the family. You may remember Megan Phelps Roper herself because she was a teenager. I think in around the time of the first documentary, she was a teenager. This is her story about growing up in that family, about not knowing any different than what it was like to be within the Westboro Baptist Church, about that time when they start to do things like organize protests at the families of United States servicemen who've been killed overseas. You'll have seen that in the series of documentaries Louis Theroux has done. But then there's interesting stuff in it about how they weren't really stopped from having access to music or video games, and they were allowed to have pop culture in their lives as well. It's the history of the church itself, about Fred Phelps, her grandfather, about how none of us knew that he was a civil rights lawyer, apparently, in the 1960s and took on cases no one else would. And eventually then, when she chooses to leave the church itself, brings her sister with her, and then what happens when they leave and go into the real world.
Is this a book that would appeal, say, to readers who liked Educated by Tara Westover?
I've seen a lot of people who make references to that, and I think absolutely so. It is a real-life version of what was the story that Tara Westover also gave in Educated, yeah.
Louisa, what is surveillance capitalism, and why do we need to read about it?
In a nutshell, surveillance capitalism is a new phase in economic history in which private companies and governments, and sometimes nefarious others, track your every move with the goal of predicting and controlling your behaviour in order to maximise their gain. You're not the product or the customer, you're the raw material. Technologies that were meant to liberate us have deepened inequality, stoked division, subverted democracy, even enabled genocide. There's been a lot about Facebook and that. To read this book, I really can't stress how important it is, because we need first to understand what is happening and then make an informed decision and action towards creating a future where we control the rights to our own human experience. To my mind, this should be mandatory reading for every single person involved in the tech industry. Anybody who owns a so-called smartphone, anybody who uses the internet, anybody who walks down the street where your face can be scanned. And I realise this may sound like some futuristic dystopic science fiction, but it's very, very real and it's happening right now.
The Age of Surveillance Capitalism by Shoshana Zuboff by Profile Books. Rick, before we people are worried now, and before we lift the mood, let's just get another one out of the way. Tell me about The Uninhabitable Earth by David Wallace Wells.
God, I'm very conscious you have picked these ones to start with, haven't you? Well, David Wallace Wells is The Uninhabitable Earth is about the end of the human race. It starts off by, there was an article that he wrote for the New Yorker in 2017, which became widely read at the time. He's taken it and he has brought it out into the form of a book. Now, I was put off reading this book for most of the year. It came out in hardback. I knew it would be for me. I knew I'd want to read it. I was afraid that if I did, that I might not think about the rest of my life and what's left of it. I'm probably fairly right about that. He deals with everything from ice loss to sea rise to species collapse, everything that is not only just coming down the road, but is immediately in front of us, and those things that are happening in the world right now in terms of climate catastrophe. We all think centuries ago is when all of this damage was done, from the beginning of the Industrial Revolution until now. He talks about how the vast majority of the damage has been done since we found out what climate change was, and in the last 6-7 years, it may already be too late for us to stop any of these. So happy Christmas, everybody.
We need a lift after that. Let's turn to fiction. Louisa, Jojo Moyes is the best known for Me Before You. Tell me about her latest, The Giver of Stars.
I would say this is Moyes' best book yet, and it is the perfect story for those wanting pure escapism. I mean, what's not to love about a book where the heroes are lady librarians on horseback? It's based on historical fact. The story opens up in 1930s rural Kentucky, not long after the Great Depression, when Eleanor Roosevelt set up a program to get books to remote families through a network of small mobile libraries. The protagonist is Alice Wright, a bored young Englishwoman who marries an American in the hope of escaping claustrophobic tedium, only to find herself very much a fish out of water. She's lonely, she's isolated in this small Kentucky town. So she signs up to become a librarian and befriends Marjorie O'Hare, who is a woman that the respectable townsfolk hide highly disapprove of, which is why we love her so much. The story is rich with female friendship, obviously the transformative power of books and literature. The writing is superb, and Moyes is great at describing like the big open skies and the mountains, this gorgeous sweeping Kentucky landscape. It also deals with the extreme poverty of rural America, strict class lines even then, and also the powerlessness of women in the patriarchy.
Rick, staying with fiction, you've chosen Emma Donoghue's latest.
Oh, finally a bit of comedy, yeah. And don't be put off by the fact that Emma Donoghue was the one who wrote Room. This is as far away as you can get from Room as is possible. It's called Akin. The book starts with Noah. Noah is 81 years old. He is a widower. He is quite rich. He lives in Manhattan. His wife has passed away. His parents have passed away. He has no family left after his sister dies. She leaves him a bequest saying, here's some money, but I want you to do one thing for me. Go away and have fun with it. Do something interesting and fun. Noah thinks, well, what I may do is I will go back to the place I was born, which was Nice in France. He was born there during the Second World War and his family left, and he hasn't been there since. Immediately into the story comes Michael. Michael is 11 years old. Michael is foul-mouthed. He's addicted to his mobile phone. He is from Brooklyn. He also happens to be Noah's great-nephew, who he has never met. Michael's mother is about to be put into the prison system. So it turns out if Noah does not take him on board, Michael is also going to be thrown into the system.
About as far away from Room as you can get. Now, I haven't read it.
Absolutely.
Is there much fun in this?
There is a huge amount of fun in it. It is a very, very, very odd couple story. The two of them end up going to Nice, and it's about the two of them finding family and accommodation in
Akin their lives. By Emma Donoghue. Staying with you, Rick, listeners will know Colson Whitehead from The Underground Railway. What's The Nickel Boys about?
Yeah, The Nickel Boys. I saw a quote recently where somebody had said that Colson Whitehead has a mission to create a fictional space in which the buried stories of America's racial history can breathe. Underground Railroad was just that, and The Nickel Boys is as well. It starts off in the present day. There's an excavation of a decades-old graveyard at the back of a reform school. Something is found, and our main character realizes he's going to have to go back and revisit his own history there. His name is Elwood. He was a young black boy who was inspired by Martin Luther King. He ended up, through no real fault of his own, in the Nickel Academy in Jim Crow-era Florida for very, very flimsy reasons. And then this is about the extraordinary cruelty that is visited upon the kids who are there, both black kids and white kids, and about the nature of the attempted escape that he goes through, and then the story as it becomes to light the further and further it goes on through the end.
Louisa, who is Una Min Kavanagh, and why might people want to read her autobiography?
For me, this memoir is a snapshot of contemporary Ireland. Una Min Kavanagh is well known to Irish Twitter, a great presence online. She was adopted as a 3-day-old infant in Vietnam by her Kerry mother. Her grandfather was reared in the Gaeltacht, and the stories from his early life held up against her own in Dublin in 2019 for me really illustrated the scope of the transformation this little island has undergone in just a couple of generations. Reading it, it's abundantly clear that she inherited her grandfather's amazing gift for storytelling. It's like sitting with her at the kitchen table over a cup of tea. It follows her mostly idyllic childhood in Kerry, her move to college in Dublin, choosing a career path that's perhaps not 100% secure, but more fulfilling, and one that allows her to use her Irish language, which she loves. There is some strong language in this because she does not shy away from the racism that she has received both in person in Dublin and online. But the way she has risen in the face of adversity is truly inspirational.
Rick, Blind Boy Boat Club has a new collection of short stories. This one got a mixed review, I think, in the Irish Times. But I suppose that could be the case with most short story collections. Some you like, some you don't.
I think you're 100% right. And I think most short story collections are patchy in one form or another anyway. I think this is a collection of short stories by Blind Boy, who, seamless plug, is going to be the first guest on the book show this coming Sunday night at 7 o'clock here on Radio 1. It is many things. It is a series of stories that go everywhere from famine, Ireland through a post-apocalyptic Limerick, some of which are fantastic, some of which are okay, and one or two which are exceptional short stories, and they're well worth your reading.
Louisa, if listeners want a good whodunit?
I would recommend a wonderful new series called The Long Call. This particular one is called The Long Call by Anne Cleave. She's best known for the Vera Stanhope and Shetland series. It's set in North Devon and starts with a body on a beach, which is linked through to a community centre that is run by Detective Inspector Matthew Venn's husband. The case gets even more close to home when a girl goes missing, and that is linked back to the very secretive Barnum Brethren, an evangelical sect that the detective inspector grew up in.
I'm curious about your next one. It's called Be My Guest. It might be useful this time of year.
Very much so. This is all about the meditation on the meaning and limits of hospitality. It's a bit like a prolonged dinner conversation. They're in and out of culture, politics, religion, philosophy, world affairs, love, cooking, all through food, which is the best way to have any discussion. And examining what hospitality means today, Priya Basile takes us from her grandmother's kitchen table through to Europe's qualified welcome to those extended fleeing war. And she invites us to consider that how much we have in common may depend on what we're willing to share.
Fans of Sunday Miscellany, Rick, have something in store?
Yeah, the book is out. It's Miscellany 50. It has been 50 years of Sunday Miscellany. They've been celebrating that over the last 12 months. The book that is out has a series of stories from everybody from Kevin Barry to John Bowman, Mia Gallagher, Joe O'Connor, Emily Pine, John Kelly, full of beautiful photographs as well. There's poetry in there as well. It's the perfect gift book.
Right. And Louisa, Elena Ferrante, not a novel this time, collected articles about what?
Yes, her new novel is coming out in spring. These are the essays that she wrote for The Guardian for a year. They're gathered together in this gorgeous hardback with a new introduction by Elena and also illustrated by Andrea Uccini. Absolutely a superb gift for any fan of Elena Ferrante's writing. A
few quick other mentions. Red at the Bone by Jacqueline Woodson.
A superb, very contemporary novel that is looking at class, race in Brooklyn in 2001.
For the coffee table, Rick.
Three things for you very quickly. Shooting the Darkness, the book about the most interesting photos taken during the Troubles by press photographers who were there at the time. I'll give you Return to Sender as well, revisiting John Hind's Ireland, which is a series of John Hind photos put side to side with what those vistas look like today. It's utterly fascinating.
Have they got the donkey with the two panniers?
There is a donkey in there as well, yeah. And pretty much every iconic John Hind image that you were ever sent as part of a postcard is in there as well. And the thing is, the vast majority of these vistas have not changed in the interim.
And then you've got one from Tom Burke. That's Shooting the Darkness.
Yes, that's the one I just mentioned.
Sorry, I beg your pardon. I was racing ahead a little bit there. But look, I just want to mention one or two myself, if I have the time. We had Girl by Edna O'Brien. I'm sure you've read that. A wonderful story about kidnapped girls in Africa. Nightboat to Tangier, Kevin Barry. Need to say an awful lot more about that. Burned by Sam McBride. That was an interview we did in the programme. Apparently selling like hotcakes in the north. It's about the Cash for Ash scandal. I have to mention as well, The Irishman by Charles Brandt. It was originally called I Heard You Paint Houses. It's the book of the movie The Irishman, and I found it unputdownable. Of course, the paint in question is the blood that gets onto the floor when you shoot somebody, and Frank Sheeran also said, I do carpentry, which means I organise coffins as well. And finally, Mike Hanrahan's Beautiful Affair, a mixture of wonderful stories. I don't know if either of you read it.
It is absolutely a wonderful book. And it's such an unusual mix of music and food. It's absolutely perfect Christmas material.
I had a few guys in from the neighbourhood and we ate the Irish stew that he recommended. They nearly licked their plates at Mike Hanrahan's Beautiful Affair. Look, that's great to have had you in studio again. That's Rick O'Shea of the RT Book Show. Good luck with the new venture, Rick.
Thanks, Sean.
And Louisa Cameron of Raven Books. May you have a very happy and fruitful Christmas.